Blog Talk Radio.
All right. So it's the daily go get a Mism show. All right. Looking, and it looks like I needed to get more information on it, and I'm not feeling it. But anyway, yo, this is the Daily Go Get a Mism show. I'm your host, Sun 752, and this is Throwback Thursday. Let's get real about relationships Thursday, and we are talking about friends today. We are talking about BFF requirements. What does it take to be your friend? You know, some people have really, really stringent requirements in order to be their friends. And if we're talking about being someone's best friend, you know, I think that a good way to measure a friendship with someone is to sort of put it on a scale and compare it to other people who may not measure up to being your friend. You know, how we differentiate between someone being our friend and someone being our associate. Someone being a good friend, a long-term friend, and someone being our best friend. Now, some people claim to have a best friend, and some people claim to have best friends. You know, like in the case where y'all might have grown up together, like y'all been crew since y'all was in like the first grade, maybe from around the way, and y'all have never had a significant falling out or a situation that would warrant y'all having to really use the measuring cup to decide how y'all were going to go forward. So there's never been a significant break to whereas y'all had to really put the team back together again, to whereas y'all had to evaluate whether somebody has ever really been on your team before. So when we're talking about BFF requirements, what does it take to be your friend? What does it take to be your best friend? Are you the type of person that is quick to make somebody your best friend? I've known people who have done it. You've known people who have done it, I'm sure. You know, like somebody starts working at the job with somebody, and next thing you know, they talking about that's their best friend. I'm like, wait a minute, you 40 years old? And somebody who you have known for, I don't know, 2-3 months is all of a sudden your best friend? You had a vacancy for a best friend that somebody could fill in 90 days? Well, that takes me into the question of the realm of if somebody could be your best friend that fast, does that mean that somebody could vacate your best friend slot just as fast? Are you just as quick to declare somebody an enemy of yours as fast as you are quick to label somebody as a friend of yours or a best friend of yours? That's what I want to know. That's what I want to see. And that's what we're going to talk about today on this daily go get a Mism show. How y'all feeling tonight? Make sure y'all hit the like button, y'all. Make sure that y'all share the show. Make sure that y'all subscribe to the channel if you haven't subscribed to the channel yet. I'm ready to kick this thing off. I'm feeling like a real man should. I hope y'all feeling like real men and women should also. So let's talk about it. What does it take to be your friend? You know, are you the type of person who has really stringent requirements, strict requirements? Like, does somebody have to be on your top every day? Every day. Every day. Every day. If I don't hear from you 3 days in a row, then we really ain't that tight, yo. Yeah, you supposed to be my friend. If I don't hear from you again in a week, then and we don't speak, that means that we ain't really that crew, and I'm going to have to drop you. You wasn't really no friend. You wasn't checking up on me. You wasn't seeing what's going on. I can't see how we can be best friends. We can be any friends. You ain't really nothing but associate. Get away from me. I don't want to be around you no more. You ain't nothing. I've even the score. I don't know. At this time in my life, I don't have a whole lot of friends. You know, and there comes a time, as far as I'm concerned, there comes a time in your life where you have to kind of come to grips at the people, come to grips with the people who are really important and significant in your life. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a bad thing. You know, when you were a teenager, maybe when you were in your 20s, in my case, when I was in college, when I was in high school, when I didn't have a lot of pressures on me, a lot of obligations, a lot of responsibilities, it was easy to run around in a crew. You know, we running around chasing girls, getting drunk, getting high. You know, certain things were a priority because we were just growing up. We were just learning who we are. We were just trying to have a little bit of fun. We were trying to make life as easy as possible. We was trying to make a dollar out of 15 cents, and all of the dollars that we made were being poured into either material things or into, you know, doing things that were going to actually take away the money. So we were steeped in liabilities. You understand what I'm saying? So there might have been 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of us, maybe even all the way up to 10 of us. I look back on some old, man, I look back on some old, I'm telling y'all, man, I got nostalgic today. Hold on. I wasn't going to do this. But I got to thinking about it. You know, I had to break out the photo album. You know what I'm saying? This is an old photo album. We're talking about over 30 years here. So, you know, I got to looking at some of the pictures that I've taken of others and some of the pictures that have been taken of me. Like, I like this one. This is me and my baby brother, well, my younger brother, and my older brother. My older brother is the shorter one in the back, and those are my two cousins who are standing next to each other. I was looking at that one. It's Throwback Thursday. I'm going to just show y'all a few pictures. This is me and my granddad. This is me and my grandpops. And this is the same year, 1995. A lot of things was happening in 1995, but that was my granddad right there. And, you know, they say that this is not my biological granddad, but when you look at my dad, hold on. Yeah, pick this out. You look at my dad and you look at my granddad. And you, if it ain't no DNA in that shit, y'all let me know. Because and the man acted like him. So I don't know. I'll give y'all that picture again. That's my dad here. And that's my granddad here. To me, they look a lot alike. One is lighter than the other, but, So, pictures of my brothers, picture of me and an old friend. I don't even know where this cat is anymore. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know where he is, but, you know, like, that was my man. But, you know, when you're younger, you take a lot of crew photos. All of these cats here are from college. That's me in the gold shorts and the teal shirt. And this is my old apartment. You know, so this was a familiar scene up in my old apartment. So we were, you know, I used to have friends. I used to be in a group of friends. And that was after college, by the way. To be your friend. Or a lot to be their friend. And you're thinking like, listen, man. I got things I got to do. You know, I ain't got no time to be, you know. Being your friend, being your buddy. We can hang out. We can do things when I have the time. But, you know, at this period in your life, you probably don't have time to just be a part of a friendship that requires a lot for you to be in it. So we're talking about BFF requirements tonight. What does it take for you to be friends with somebody nowadays? What does it take for somebody to be your best friend nowadays? What does it take? You know what I mean? Because I'm like, right now, honestly, I don't need a best friend. Back then, I needed a best friend. You had to have somebody who you knew was 100, someone that you felt had your back, somebody that you knew that would be there, somebody that you was crew. You pretty much built your crew around that nucleus right there. You know what I mean? It's like Master P and Silk the Shocker and C Murder. And then the rest of the No Limit Soldiers, if y'all know what I'm talking about. My hip-hopers know what I'm talking about. And nowadays, you might not need all of that. You might be past all of that. I mean, you got children. You got bills that you have to pay. You have a bunch of responsibilities. You have your career goals. You might still be working on that. Then it just might not be the same situation as it was 30 years ago, 40 years ago. However long, you might just not have that type of energy to spend. So I know I've taken the long way of getting to where we're going right now, but yeah, what does it take to be your friend these days? What's going on, Stacey White? What's going on, Mia Cunningham, T. Carrie Wright, Carol Chamberlain? Good to see y'all. Thanks for coming on through. TK Wright says it's easy to be my BFF or friend. However, I don't go looking for friends because I have certain expectations, not to be confused with high expectations. You say that it's easy to be your BFF, but that means best friend for life. That can that be easy? I know for me that's hard. Wait, well, you could be my FF. Well, BFF stands for best friend forever. You could be my friend forever, but best friend forever? I don't know. GK Wright says, cancers will be best friends with someone and switch up when they are angry or disappointed. Virgos and Taurus, too. You know what? You went a totally different a direction than I would have expected. let me make a mental note. Virgos, Taurus, and Cancer, never think that you're best friends forever with them, because yeah, me, they just waiting on another opportunity to either drop your ass off at the next stop and pick somebody up. Bus stop friends forever. You my BSS. Stacey White says that sounds kind of mean. Oh, I don't know. Now I have to think about where I was in the conversation to make you say that. TK Wright says I want friends like the ones that Jamie Foxx has. They've been holding him down and protecting his privacy. Well, I bet you he's paying them. So I don't want the kind of friends that Jamie Foxx has. Because you can best believe if nobody said anything about Jamie Foxx's condition, either they don't know or they signed a NDA. And I bet you they signed an NDA. I will bet all the money in my stash stock that they signed an NDA. Because niggas ain't loyal that way. You know what I mean? Even when you pay them, a lot of people will leak it. But if you have a way to track where the leaks are coming from, shoot. If anything, Jamie Foxx should be thanking his doctors, because they are the ones who made sure that his true condition didn't come out, or, you know, the seriousness of it or whatever. His situation wasn't explained. The doctors made sure of that, because he is a private citizen. So there really isn't any reason that his condition should have been released to the public. But a better question with Jamie Foxx is, what's the big secret, Jamie? What are we doing? Like, if you had a stroke or something like that, why would that be such a big secret? Is there another illness that you don't want to be associated with? That seems a little strange to me. Like, if I had a heart condition or if I had a stroke because of high blood pressure or something like that, or I haven't been eating right, I'm not sure.